My name is Kevin Van Hentenrick of the Hunter Stone Carving Seminar, and you are listening to WGXC Accra 90.7 FM.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network.
I'm Tom Rowe in Accra, and you've tuned into the WGXC Morning Show. During our summer pledge drive, we're asking for your help to get a few more sustaining supporters to support community radio in this community, to allow teenagers to talk about what books they've been reading or play music they like, or for senior citizens to learn new media skills and share their stories with the community. We have candidate interviews here, local town meetings, live musical performances from the Avalon Lounge in Catskill, and more on WGXC, and all sorts of extra web streams at WGXC.org and wavefarm.org. Please consider becoming a sustaining supporter of all that, WGXC.org/donate, during our summer pledge drive. That's WGXC.org/donate. Please help, and stay tuned for the local news next on the WGXC Morning Show.
The network, network, this is the news. This is the network, this is the news. This is the network, network.
You can find all about the Hudson-based circus, the Bindlesif Family Circus, on the WGXC community calendar. They're hosting the Bindlesif Circus's Summer of Joy 2022 in Hudson with five different programs for youth ages 6 through young adults, including circus art intensives for youth and participation in the Hudson Black Arts and Cultural Festival Parade. Also work on costume design and fabrication. They host the Hudson Juggling Club at Waterfront Wednesdays in Hudson, and a restorative justice facilitation training with the Hudson Youth Center and the Restorative Center of Newburgh. These programs run from June 29th to August 24th. You can find out more on the WGXC community calendar online at wgxc.org.
WGXC underwriting support is provided in part by Sun Common, supporting vibrant communities across New York for over 15 years, offering custom solar installations for homes, farms, and businesses. Information at suncommon.com.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Round Top Productions in Round Top, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate. Thank you for your support.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant.
This is Tom Rowe. You can go to the newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about anything you hear here. Clarence Fanto is reporting for the Berkshire Eagle that descendants of the first settlers of Stockbridge, Massachusetts, want to reclaim land on a quiet forested nook overlooking the Stockbridge Golf Course. Dating back nearly 300 years, the location is a burial site for ancestors who lived in the community then known as Indiantown. The Stockbridge Muncie Community Board of Mohican Indians is seeking reclamation of the burial ground site off Main Street. According to a tribal history, quote, "It is highly likely that tribal members were buried here long before the colonial period and that this burial ground was in fact a continuation," unquote. In a letter to the select board, Bonnie Hartley, the historic preservation manager for the tribe, cites the, quote, "official and sacred responsibility for our nation to preserve our ancestral burial grounds and other cultural sites such as these in our Mohican homelands, unquote. The town took possession of the land in 1809 as European colonists forced remaining members of the tribe to escape westward, a migration that began in 1783. Quote, it would be very meaningful and significant to, more than 200 years later, be able to restore this burial ground to our people, unquote, Hartley wrote. She noted the land agreement between five Stockbridge Munsee chiefs and local residents, Dr. Oliver Partridge, sought to protect the burial grounds and prevent, quote, the soil from being removed so that the bones of our ancestors may there lie undisturbed, unquote. A monument at the site includes a barely legible, weather-beaten inscription, quote, the ancient burial place of the Stockbridge Indians, 1734, the friends of our fathers, unquote. The select board will discuss the appeal on July 28th, board chair Patrick White said. The board okays the return of the burial site, the property transfer likely would be submitted to residents during a special town meeting in the fall. Quote, these folks want their ancestors' bones back. Who can argue with that, unquote, White said. Quote, it's a small parcel with a lot of history and meaning to everybody, especially since it's an ancestral homeland. I think symbols matter. It's important that we continue to recognize our shared history in this space, unquote. Read more about this story in the Berkshire Eagle.
John Cropley reports in the Daily Gazette that Capital Region housing prices were up over the previous year for the 27th straight month in a 12% year-over-year jump in June. The median sale price of a single-family home has now risen 27 months in a row in the Capital Region, according to the Greater Capital Region Association of Realtors. That rise coincides with the start of the COVID-19 pandemic. GCAR President Kendall Baker said in a press release, and I quote, despite the increase in home prices, insurance rates, and slowing sales, eager buyers continue to keep demand high on existing inventory, end quote. The median price of a house sold in June was $295,000, with sellers getting an average of 103.5% of their original asking price, with average time on the market just 21 days. The region surveyed includes Albany, Fulton, Montgomery, Rensselaer, Saratoga, Schenectady, and Schoharie counties. Nationally, the story is similar. Chief economist for the National Association of Realtors, testifying before the U.S. Senate Committee on Banking, Housing, and Urban Affairs last week, said, and I quote, in the near term, I do not expect the situation to change appreciably. Historic undersupply in the market, combined with continued demand, will likely drive ongoing issues with affordability for many Americans, end quote. In Albany County, the median price of homes sold in June was $277,000, up 10%. In Rensselaer County, the median price was $250,000, up 9%. Read more about this story in the Daily Gazette.
Daily Freeman reports county unemployment rates in the Mid-Hudson Valley and Catskills were generally higher in June than what they were a month before and much lower than the rates of June 2021, the State Department of Labor reported July 22nd. The June 2022 unemployment rate in Greene County was 3.3%, up from 3.1% in May and down from 5.2% in June 2021. In Columbia County, the jobless rate decreased from 3.1% in May to 2.6% in June and down from 4% the year before. In other parts of the region, according to the State Labor Office, jobless rates in June 22 were 3.1% in Ulster County, up from 2.8% in May and down from 5% in June 2021, 3.1% in Dutchess County, up from 2.8% in May and down from 4.9% in June 2021, 3.2% in Orange County, up from 3.2% in May and down from 5.2% in June 2021, 3% in Sullivan County, unchanged from May and down from 5.2% in June 2021, and 3.5% in Delaware County, up from, or same as 3.5% in May and down from 5% in June 2021. The state's highest jobless rate in June was 8.4% in the Bronx. The lowest rate was 2.6% in Saratoga, Yates, and Columbia counties. Read more about this story in the Daily Freeman.
Kate Lisa reports for New York State of Politics that farmers, environmental activists, and capitalists are fighting over a bill passed by the legislature that would allow localities to ban the use of pesticides near freshwater wetlands. The bill is meant to protect the 2.4 million acres of wetlands in New York. The New York Farm Bureau claims the State Department of Environmental Conservation pesticide oversight rules and regulations are enough to protect the water from chemicals and the pesticides. Bill's sponsor, State Senator Pete Harkman, counters that municipalities need to be able to protect their drinking water. Harkman said, and I quote, "Pesticides and herbicides should not have blanket application if a municipality chooses to regulate their local wetlands that way. The Farm Bureau tends to have a reflective reaction when it comes to clean water initiative. I would hope the Farm Bureau would work with us on this. This is a good bill, it's a local bill, and it will go a long way to protect our drinking water supplies," end quote. So far, Hochul is not saying whether she will sign the bill. Leo Rosales, a spokesperson for Hochul, said, and I quote, "Among the many environmental victories of the 2022-23 state budget, the governor's commitment to improve the state's wetlands protection program was fulfilled, which will save an estimated 1 million additional acres of unprotected wetlands habitat and help New York adapt to increased flooding and severe storms fueled by climate change," end quote. He added, and I quote, "and she is reviewing this legislation," end quote. Read the full story at New York State of Politics.
Mara Rosner reports for Columbia Green Media that Coxsackie Town officials have adopted a zoning amendment to regulate the sale of cannabis. A hearing was held to receive public comment on the proposal, and four members of the public attended. Quote, "there's a lot of money to be made from the sale of cannabis," unquote, Town Board member Patrick Kennedy said. The Coxsackie zoning amendment outlines aspects of the retail process, such as cultivation, distribution, laboratory testing facilities, New York State Control Board, and licensing. Growing, cloning, harvesting, drying, curing, grading, and trimming of cannabis plants for sale is permissible to individuals who hold a cannabis license or are permit holders. Distributors are required to obtain a cannabis license from New York State Office of Cannabis Management. At the public hearing, Coxsackie resident Carol Metz voiced her opposition to the zoning amendment. Quote, "do we still have the right to say we don't want it? It worries me, and don't you remember how much the cigarette companies made? Then we learned about how much harm they caused," unquote, Metz said. The Cannabis Control Board on June 23rd approved the opening of the application window for conditional processors beginning July 28th and continuing through August 31st. Applicants must pay a non-refundable $2,000 application and licensing fee to complete the submission. Applicants are encouraged to read program guidance before applying and submitting payment. Information is available at cannabis.ny.gov. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com.
And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day. And now, here is your WGXC weather update. Your forecast for the next 2 days. Well, on Wednesday, mostly sunny with a high near 85 degrees. Wednesday night, a slight chance of showers after 2 a.m. It will be mostly cloudy with a temperature low of around 65 degrees. And on Thursday, a chance of showers and thunderstorms mainly after 8 a.m. Otherwise, it will be mostly sunny with a temperature high near 87 degrees. And Thursday night, a chance of showers and thunderstorms before 11 p.m., then a slight chance of showers after that. It will be mostly cloudy, with a temperature low of around 65 degrees. And that is your weather update from WGXC, 90.7 FM, radio for open ears, in Greene and Columbia counties.
Tuesday, July 27th, tune in to all sorts of creative community voices on the air at WGXC 90.7 FM, including at 10 a.m. It's time for Evan McCormick's new show on WGXC. It's called Music in Time, where he looks at one album in particular. Today, it's No Doubt's Tragic Kingdom album, and a look at the old mail order business where you ordered albums by mail. Then Maria Manhattan is live in the Hudson Cafe from the WGXC Hudson Studio in the basement of the First Presbyterian Church on Warren Street.
At noon, it's time for Spike Priggins' Bedazzled Radio Hour, which goes on for 2 hours for some reason. At 4 p.m. on the WGXC Afternoon Show, we're live from Acre with Natalia Kowalski-Hetlerdar and Gregory Whitehead. Kowalski is a radio researcher, and Whitehead is a renowned radio artist. Then at 7 p.m., we are live with the Off the Hook Show, simulcast from WBAI in New York City, with the 2600 Hacker Quarterly crew talking technology on the radio at 90.7 FM WGXC.
Get a local event mentioned on All Together Now. Go to WGXC.org and click on Add an Event at the top of the page. And copy and paste the information about your event in the boxes. Let's all get involved in our community. See what's going on at WGXC.org in the community calendar.
Hi, I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now!, heard weekday mornings here at 8 o'clock on WGXC 90.7 FM. WGXC is hosting its pledge drive, and we need your support. Help keep hands-on creative community radio alive in your region by calling 518-697-7400. That's 518-697-7400. Or you can pledge online with your tax-deductible pledge at wgxc.org/donate. That's wgxc.org/donate. Help WGXC meet its goal and keep local, national, and international news broadcasting in Greene and Columbia counties. Thanks so much.
Listening to Quintron's Weather Warlock. Live stream of an analog drone synthesizer played by the weather, made by the New Orleans-based artist Quintron. You can listen to the Quintron Weather Warlock take the changes in weather at Wave Farm in Greene County and hear it anytime, 24 hours a day at wavefarm.org/listen. Go to any WGXC.org webpage and click on the listen button to hear Quintron's Weather Warlock, turning the changes in precipitation and sunlight and wind and temperature into sound.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Wednesday, July 27th. Cool conditions earlier this morning, 56 degrees in Windham and just barely 60 degrees over in Germantown. Soil is at 68 degrees. Expect some fog in places, but not past 8 a.m. Things warm up to 86 degrees by 4 p.m. Dew points in the low 60s should keep it mostly comfortable. Overnight, temperatures fall to 67 degrees, and some rain kicks off near midnight. Thursday, rain chances keep going, and we see a high of 86 at 3 p.m., and a potentially stormy afternoon. Shortly after dark, rain stops, and temperatures then fall to 66 degrees. It will, however, be muggy. Friday gets another stormy afternoon, and a high of 81. 62 degrees overnight takes us into a nice-looking Saturday with a high of 82. Pollen levels for today will be medium. Today's tide schedule is high tide at 2:50 a.m., then low tide at 9:38 a.m. High tide again at 3:24 p.m., then low tide once again at 9:29 p.m. Today's river temperature will be 78 degrees. Sunset today will be at 8:07 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 5:40 a.m. Looking way up, we see things are relatively quiet with a 45% chance for C-class solar flares. Solar wind speed is currently 403.2 kilometers per second at 4.9 protons per milliliter. Radio propagation conditions are currently fair below 4 megahertz till dark, then fair below 15 megahertz overnight. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 3, quiet. The current sunspot number is 78, and this has been the Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate. And in case for some reason you couldn't tell, it is pledge drive time, so we are asking for everyone's assistance. Every little bit helps, whether your contribution is financial or social. Anything you can do to help us increase our base and get the word out is appreciated. Just head on over to WGXC.org. You're going to be glad that you did.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Friday Night Racer of Hartsdale, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. Become a WGXC sustaining supporter today. Go to WGXC.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
Hey there, I'm Brendan Donegan, host of the Playing Favorites show, heard on WGXE every Monday morning. A few weeks ago, I was driving through Hudson looking for a parking space and turned on the radio to hear a sad collection of teeny bopper tunes, stale oldies, and blustery call-ins. I eventually found 90.7 FM. The morning show was on, and Tom Rowe was playing some blazing hot rock and roll. It was Chris Forsyth, my latest guitar hero. Now, you won't hear Chris on other stations in Columbia or Greene counties. That's what's magical about WGXC. Tune in anytime and you'll likely hear something new and interesting. Did you know that for as little as $5 a month, you can help keep WGXC an oasis in a sonic desert? Just click donate at WGXC.org or call 518-697-7400. To keep creative community radio for open ears on the air for you.
Listen to what the flower people say. Getting louder every day.
Just sit right back and you'll hear a tale of a nearly successful coup that started at the end of Constitution Avenue.
To the Capitol.
A congressman named Loudermilk, a MAGA guy obscure, led 12 of his constituents on a three-hour tour. A three-hour tour. One of the guys who was on that tour, who'd learned his way around, came back with the mob the very next day and stormed the Capitol grounds.
We're coming in like white on rice.
It wasn't just a protest that got somehow out of hand, but a violent insurrection meticulously planned.
All hell is going to break loose tomorrow.
The president, who would be king, conspired to make damn sure the rioters would lay siege that day on a three-hour tour. A three-hour tour. The ship of state was nearly wrecked by the lawlessness and guile of Loudermilligan, the skipper too. The millionaire and the wife, the movie star, the professor and Marianne, here on Mutineers Isle.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. As we noted yesterday, a reform for the Electoral Count Act introduced last week in the U.S. Senate clarifies that the governor must appoint the slate of presidential electors. But how does this new proposal protect against, theoretically speaking, of course, a governor who is an election denier? An analysis in the online journal Lawfare, written by former Obama White House counsel Bob Bauer and Harvard Law School professor Jack Goldsmith, argues that the reform does include additional safeguards. It takes out the vague responsibilities in the 1887 rules about a, quote, executive of state, and clarifies it to be the governor or the official responsible for the state's elections. The governor must follow state laws enacted before the election, and now he or she must complete the certification 6 days before the Electoral College. Bauer and Goldsmith also say that the reform bill establishes a path for the courts, first state and then federal, should a rogue governor or chief election officer stray from the rules. It also specifies that this judicial remedy should be expedited so as to not slow down the Electoral College process. While there are criticisms that the reforms could be stronger in some areas of the Electoral Count Reform Act, Bauer, Goldsmith, and the majority of other scholars praise the bipartisan bill and say it would make our elections more resistant to bad actors. Check out more articles on the Electoral Count Reform Act at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. For the American Democracy Minute, I'm Brian Beal. Heavens to...
Come on. Welcome to 2022 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
Two negative quarters of GDP growth is not the technical definition of recession.
As the White House braces for a potentially dour economic report, National Economic Advisor Brian Deese told reporters the nation's fiscal stability is measured by more than GDP and inflation.
The most important question economically is whether working people and middle-class families have more breathing room, they have more job opportunities, their wages are going up in a stable way, and they're able to afford important things in their lives.
New GDP numbers will be released tomorrow, which analysts predict will be negative for the second quarter in a row. On Tuesday, new data revealed consumer confidence fell in July to the lowest level since February 2021. The economy is a sticking point for voters, as a CNN poll finds three-fourths of Democratic and Democratic-leaning voters want someone other than President Joe Biden nominated by the party for the 2024 election. 32% said it's because they don't want him reelected, while 24% said it's because they don't think Biden can win. Biden will reportedly speak with Chinese President Xi this week in an attempt to quell escalating tensions over Taiwan and trade. The call comes as U.S. officials reiterated warnings of China's posing a long-term threat to national security. Meanwhile, the bill to make the U.S. semiconductor industry more competitive with China advanced in the Senate on a 64-34 vote.
This bill is going to cut costs for people, it's going to bring jobs home, and it's going to strengthen our national security. And it's a big deal.
Michigan Democrat Debbie Stabenow says it would provide $54 billion in grants and a tax credit, covering 25% of investments in semiconductor manufacturing through 2026. For the first time since leaving office, former President Donald Trump was back in D.C., where he spoke before a conservative think tank. He focused on criminal justice reform and his continued claims the 2020 election was stolen from him. In a speech nearby, his vice president, Mike Pence, shot down suggestions the party is divided, but argued Republicans need to find a path forward.
I truly do believe that elections are about the future, and that it's absolutely essential at a time when so many Americans are hurting, so many families are struggling, that we don't give way to the temptation to look back.
Still, though, the appearances suggest gaps linger between the pair as Pence drew about 250 attendees and Trump nearly 800. White House Chief Medical Advisor Dr. Anthony Fauci says health officials are considering making an emergency declaration around monkeypox.
There are now over 80 countries throughout the world who have cases, more than 16,000 cases in non-endemic countries. So this is something we're taking very seriously.
Fauci noted while monkeypox primarily affects men who have sex with men, it's especially concerning for those already diagnosed with a viral infection like HIV. For Pacifica Network and Public News Service, I'm Mary Sherman. Find our A-Trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
Silent weapon technology has evolved from operations research, a strategic and tactical methodology developed under military management in England during World War II. The original purpose of operations research was to study the strategic and tactical problems of air and land defense with the objective of effective use of limited military resources against foreign enemies. It was soon recognized by those in positions of power that the same methods might be useful for totally controlling a society. Everything that is expected from an ordinary weapon is expected from a silent weapon by its creators, but only in its manner of functioning. It shoots situations instead of bullets, propelled by data processing instead of a chemical reaction, originating from bits of data instead of grains of gunpowder, from a computer instead of a gun, operated by a computer programmer instead of a marksman, under the orders of a banking magnate instead of a military general. The silent weapon makes no obvious explosive noises, causes no obvious physical or mental injuries, and does not obviously interfere with anyone's daily social life. Yet, it makes an unmistakable noise, causes unmistakable physical and mental damage, and unmistakably interferes with daily social life, i.e., unmistakable to a trained observer, one who knows what to look for. The public cannot comprehend this weapon, and therefore cannot believe that they are being attacked and subdued by a weapon. The public might instinctively feel that something is wrong, but because of the technical nature of the silent weapon, they cannot express their feeling in a rational way or handle the problem with intelligence. Therefore, they do not know how to cry for help and do not know how to associate with others to defend themselves. When a silent weapon is applied gradually, the public adjusts, adapts to its presence, and learns to tolerate its encroachment on their lives until the pressure, psychological via economic, becomes too great and they crack up. Therefore, the silent weapon is a type of biological warfare. It attacks the vitality, options, and mobilities of the individuals of a society by knowing, understanding, manipulating, and attacking their sources of natural and social energy and their physical, mental, and emotional strengths and weaknesses. Repetition breeds suggestibility. Repetition breeds suggestibility. I am not suggestible. I am not suggestible. I am not open to suggestion. Repetition, repetition, repetition breeds suggestibility. I am not open to suggestion.
Joe McPhee is a renowned saxophonist who resides in Poughkeepsie, and his Nation Time album, originally released in 1970 and reissued in the year 2000, is a jazz classic. Now, in 2022, the band More Mother, on their album Jazz Codes, has a song called Joe McPhee Nation Time Intro.
Purple peaches, pumpkin pie, all y'all ready? Holler, scream, shout. It's nation time. It's nation time. It's nation time for real.
Yo, cops in patrol cars, cops on the beat. We'll be standing on the corners. We'll be marching in the street. Helicopters overhead, another brother shot dead. What time is it? It's nation time. Racist fascists in our White House, neo-Nazis in the streets. We got miles to go and promises to keep. Culture vultures in our beds, another bullet in our heads. What time is it? It's nation time.
That was the Flow Trio with the song Glistening. The Flow Trio is Louis Belaginas, Joe Morris, and Rashid Baker. And they were joined there by Poughkeepsie's own Joe McPhee on a song from the 2021 album Winter Garden. I'm Tom Rowe in Acre with the WGXC Renewable Weather Report. And we start each Renewable Weather Report with a look at the fossil fuel prices in Greene County. And the Gas Buddy website says that the Citco in South Caro has the lowest price for a gallon of gas in Greene County at $4.39 a gallon. Then we take a look at the forecast for air quality on Wednesday in the area, and it is a good 30, down from 47 yesterday, so better air quality in the area. Then the National Weather Service in Albany predicts for Wednesday that should be mostly sunny, good for the local solar panels, with a high around 82. Wednesday night, there is a 30% chance of rain. Otherwise, it'll be partly cloudy with a low around 64. Thursday, there is a 60% chance of precipitation. Showers and thunderstorms are possible between 11 a.m. and 2 p.m. Otherwise, it'll be mostly sunny with a high of 84 and a light south wind becoming southwest 5 to 10 miles per hour in the afternoon and spinning local windmills. Thursday night, there's a 60% chance of rain again, showers and possibly a thunderstorm before 8 p.m. and a low around 64. And then Friday, there's a 50% chance of showers, and thunderstorms are also possible after 11 a.m. Otherwise, it'll be partly sunny with a high of 78, a low around 60. You're listening to the radio, WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, solar-powered radio for open ears.